resurrection. Each Sunday service is a celebration of the resurrection, and we are praising God and glorifying him today for his mighty deeds that he chose to come and to love us enough to die and to beat sin and death and the devil, to rise again, to give us the hope and the assurance of eternal life. And so it's a good day to be here. It's a good day to be together as we celebrate that. A special welcome to our visitors. We're glad that you are here today. Feel free to sign the guest book in back if you would like. You can also fill out a blue card that you find in your pews, and that's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. You can place those in the offering plate as when that comes around a little bit later in the service. If you have any specific prayer requests that you would like prayed for this morning during the service, fill out a yellow card in your pew and hand that to the usher, and they'll make sure that I get that here so that we can pray for those things later on in the service. There are a few prayer requests that I want to bring to your attention just briefly here as we get started. Keep these people in prayer. Pray for Jan Harveland, who's still currently hospitalized with some severe back trouble, and I don't have a very recent update. As of a couple days ago, they were still trying to decide if she needed back surgery or not, but pray for her for healing, and pray for Bud here too, as he's home alone there as well, and that that Jan can get home quickly and that healing can come for her. Pray for Jennifer Ness, who is going in tomorrow for C-section, and so we're excited for the new addition to the Ness family there, and but keep Jared and Jennifer, especially Jennifer, can I say that? Especially pray for Jennifer through this, and for their little baby, and we're excited for that moment and that time in their lives there as well. We do have a few announcements that I want to share with you, too, and you can see our weekly schedule. There are a few, different changes in there. I'm going to be on vacation this week, and so keep that in mind. If any emergency comes up, give the office a call. Give Nathaniel Olson, the council chairman, a call, or Pam Tweet, the parish worker, and they can get a hold of me there also. For any other items of business that need to get going on, you can call them. As far as schedule goes, they're still going to be Bible study, but what we decided to do was to put everybody in together with Bible 101. So the Bible 101 class is going to be a big class this week, and it's a chance for all of you who haven't taken that class to get a taste of it. So still come for Bible study this week if you're able, and then that'll meet back where the Bible study regularly meets, and then Jeremy will be teaching that class, and then there will be adult Sunday school next week also. We'll have a fill-in, a substitute teacher there too. The one cancellation is there is no confirmation, so please remember that too for those of you families to whom that pertains, that there's no confirmation on Wednesday. You can see the rest. There's newsletter deadline on Thursday, and then next Sunday, regular worship. I would add to this, next Monday, October 3rd, we are having a party at the church. Isn't that exciting? It's a carpet removal party, which makes you feel really excited. Come for that, please, if you're able. We're going to start at about 5 o'clock, and if you can't get here till later, that's okay. But we're going to be, the hope is to get all of the carpet in the sanctuary removed on Monday night. There's some special tools. There's even a machine that supposedly is supposed to work real well to get that off. So we're hoping that many hands will make light work. I think there was even talk of pizza. I'm not going to guarantee that, but that might be happening. So you should come and find out. And we'll, like I said, many hands make light work. We'll have some fun with this. But the serious side of it too is we, in order to get this done so that we can get the new carpet in before the following Sunday, we kind of need a lot of help to get this done in one night so that the carpet can be installed then the rest of the week. And so next Monday, October 3rd, if you're free to give a few hours, even if you can't stay the whole time, just to come for some of it and help with that, that would be greatly appreciated. You've probably seen some of the updates that have gone on, especially this week was a big week. The stone got installed there in the back of the sanctuary this week, and also the sound system. And I think that this is a good timing. If there's any other announcements, look in your insert in your bulletin there. But I'm going to end my time. I'm going to call on Brian Klingman to come forward and just share briefly a little bit about some of the other updates that happened this week.
Actually, actually looks like an Easter crowd. This is fantastic. I had to check the calendar. I've never seen this many people here this time of year. So, anyway, we have the new barn in place, and that's all digital. We also moved the video feed up front to Jonathan's running that from the balcony, too. So everything's out of the back area. We installed the display over here. That's new. That is electrical, and that can be moved up and down. So that was all adjusted, and we ran all the feeds and so on. We put some new devices up front here. We have some feeds here in the middle of the stage, which sometimes we need to use for baptisms, weddings, things like that. So that's all in place. Now we're just kind of waiting for carpeting and so on through. We're going to have all the hearing devices. When you walk in at that little lectern where you get the bulletin, we're going to have all that from there rather than running up to the balcony to get those devices. So anybody that has needs the hearing devices, those will all be located there. There's batteries and also the devices there. See the ushers. They will take care of that end of it. Our recordings now, we are not going to be doing CDs anymore. We will be doing the recording right off the board itself. Those will be all on the website. I'll convert those after the service, put them up to the website. A lot of times by the time you get home after the service, those will be available. They're on the website. There's a link off that website that says sermons. You click on sermons and go through there, and it'll have the audio all through there. We're not going to piecework it anymore, whereas before we used to just do like special music, scripture, sermon. We're going to do the entire service. So they'll be a little longer, but they will all be all available there. They're chronologically sorted and so on. I guess that's about all we got. If anybody has any, I know like the listening devices, we usually don't test that stuff out, but if that seems to be off a little bit, by all means, let us know after the service and we can do some tweaks there. Other than that, we're just going to kind of each week get things in sync as far as up there on the board and so on. I think it sounds way better just from our testing and stuff. So hopefully this will be something we can put behind us and a big improvement. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian, and to all those who are working on that, and to all who have been working. We'll do a little bit more, maybe of a review, and especially after the carpet gets done here. There's a lot of people to thank, and it's been a wonderful process here, and it's kind of nice to see. You know, the carpet was set as kind of the last big milestone in this project of sanctuary updating and so forth, and so it's nice to have that coming up here now as well. Are there any other announcements that I have? Yes. Yeah, so we have, I think, after-school program volunteers we're good to go there, so that's good. Glad for that, too. Any other announcements? And if not, then let's be called to worship. Let's hear from God's Word, Psalm 59. Wonderful words here. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Let's stand together and sing number 134, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Be seated. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." This is "Great is the Lord."
Thank you.
Next, we'll be singing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. It's 174 in your hymnal.
Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, worthy of worship.
Thank you.
I would invite you at this time now to take part in this element of the worship service in your hearts and with your mouths together, confessing our sins, recognizing we need a Savior, and then hearing the wonderful good news that in fact He does forgive us. And so you'll find our confession of sins printed in your bulletin this morning and also on the screen. Merciful God and Heavenly Father, whose grace endures to all generations, you are patient and long-suffering and will forgive the sins and transgressions of those who truly repent. Look with compassion upon your people. Hear their supplications. We have sinned against you and are unworthy of your goodness and love. Remember not our transgressions. Have mercy upon us and help us, O God. Grant us remission of all our sins, and give us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our ways and with you obtain everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. From Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. It is my joy and privilege to declare to you today that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is good news today. We trust in that. That's our faith. We look to Jesus, the one who makes us clean. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Paul Vesladal to read our scripture.
Today's Old Testament lesson is found in the book of Amos, the 6th chapter and the first 7 verses. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over Calna and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines, are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence, woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David invent for themselves instrument of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. And therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. And then the New Testament lesson is found in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish and in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now He is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, so that they may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they become convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Here ends the reading.
Let's confess our faith together, saying, This is what we believe, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This time I'm going to call on the ushers to wait on us. Thank you. thank you, God, for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so abundantly, richly provide for us. You sustain us. You preserve to us, God, all that is good. And so thank you for that. I pray that you would help us to be faithful stewards and caretakers of all that you give us. I ask you for your blessing now upon the rest of our service as we dig into your word. In your name I pray, amen. We do have a children's message, so I'm going to ask the kiddos to come on up at this time. All right, come on up, find a seat. We're going to draw a picture today, and I need your guys' help. We're going to draw a picture of an alien, okay? So, you guys got to help me describe it, though, because I don't really know how to draw aliens very good. Okay, so if we're going to draw an alien, what should we draw? A head? Okay, so what shape should the head be? An upside down triangle? Okay, so like this? Like, oh, the other way around? Okay, so let's go the other way. Like that? How about like this? Okay, we got to get the head right. That's probably the most important part. A space alien's head? I wish I could get that picture in my head. yes. Like a diamond? Is that kind of like it? Curved. A curved diamond. Okay. How does that look? Okay, I think that's going to be good enough, because aliens have more than heads. What else do they have? Eyes, oval eyes. Okay, so like that. Okay, we got to go fast. So what else? A neck, okay. And should it be like a neck? It should be a neck like that, maybe. Okay, what else? Antennas, okay. So we're going to have some antennas. What else? A mouth, that's a good idea too. Let's see here, let's make a triangle for a mouth, just to be silly. Okay, arms, and well, what if he doesn't have a body? We better put a body on him first, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to have a body, and then we're gonna have arms, and should they be short arms or long arms? Long, so we'll just make arms like this. Oh, those are long arms. Okay, what else? We're almost done. Legs, okay, so we better have legs before we have feet, right? Yeah, okay, that would be important. Okay, so let's get some legs. Should they be squiggly legs? Yeah, and how about feet? What should the feet be?
Circles.
Circles? Circles? Okay, so we'll put circles down here for feet. Okay, so this is our alien. We won't show the congregation what it looks like. It's more an indictment on my drawing skills, I think. They can come up after the service and look if they really want to. Here's my question. Did you guys know that you have an alien sitting next to you right now? Where? Yeah. Did you know that they're sitting right next to you? Look at the person sitting next to you. They're aliens. Did you know that? That's kind of a funny thought, isn't it? Do they look anything like this? No, they don't. I know they don't. Okay, we won't go there. Did you guys know, and this is important, okay, so pay attention to this. Did you guys know that you're an alien? All of you are aliens, okay? Yeah, you're aliens. And the Bible, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, we use the word alien like just someone that's different, okay? So we don't necessarily think space aliens or from someone from outer space, but we use the word alien to describe somebody, for example, that comes from a different country, okay? Somebody that's different from us, and each one of us is different, but all together as Christians, okay, those of us who are trusting in Jesus, the Bible calls us aliens. Did you know that the Bible calls you an alien if you're a Christian? Yeah, it does, okay? It calls us aliens, and it does so for a couple of reasons, okay? Number one, because God has made us into his family. So if we're a part of God's family, we're different, all right? He's made us into his family, and it's a really cool thing. Did you know you're a part of God's family? Yeah, and that's really special. That makes you different, and that's a great thing. The other reason why we call ourselves aliens is because when God gives us faith, okay? It changes us. Yeah. So then we start to behave different and act different. And people might say, well, that's kind of funny, or that's kind of funny looking maybe, but maybe not like this funny looking, different kinds of funny looking. And we act different, we look different, we think different, and that makes us aliens in a fun way, not a like gross, slimy alien way, but in a really fun and cool way that we are aliens. We're different because God makes us different. He makes us new. All right? He changes us. And that's a really wonderful thing. He cleans us, like we just mentioned. He washes our sins away, and he makes us into his children, and then we love him. And who else do we love besides God? And Jesus, and who else? And each other. That's right. We love each other, okay? He washed our germs away. He washed our sins away. That's exactly right. Yep. So remember that today, okay? That you guys are aliens, but you're good aliens because you're different, because Jesus has come and he's made you clean. He's washed you. He's given you new life. And so we love him, and then we love one another. All right? Thanks. You guys can go and sit down. Before the message, then, let's turn once more in our hymnals to hymn number 63, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, hymn number 63. In Romans 12 for one more week here for today. And this is our third week here in this chapter, so we're going to finish it out. And I would like to read for you the last 10 verses of the chapter, Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 12. And if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, reading today in Jesus' name. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, these are your words. I ask that you would set them apart in our hearts now as truth, because your word is truth. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts gathered here today would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock, our redeemer. Bless this time, we ask, in your name, amen. You may be seated. Conflict. Conflict is something that we all know very well, isn't it? If you don't agree with that, you're not thinking hard enough. It's 10:30 now, it's not too early. You can start thinking. I'm not necessarily talking about conflict as in we're always fighting or angry or upset with someone or something. I'm talking about the simple reality that we don't always all perfectly agree with everything. We're different. And that's a level of conflict. Conflict doesn't have to be a bad thing, it's just reality. But because reality, because the world is broken, something like conflict often does become a bad thing. We get hurt. We hurt others. We don't get along with family members. We find ourselves at odds with coworkers. Maybe other members of this church have said something offensive to you. Maybe I have. And it hurts. And our natural tendency is that when we are hurt, we get defensive. I remember reading a story once about a young man who found himself between an injured mama bear and her cubs. The perfect storm of bad places to be, okay? Between a mama and her cubs, but when that mama is injured, she's defensive. Our natural tendency when we are hurt is to be defensive. We think that we have to defend ourselves by throwing our own darts at others to try to hurt them, to get them to understand the pain that they are inflicting on me. When we are hurt, we hurt them back. We think it'll make us feel better, it'll heal us, but actually we find that it only makes things worse. How in the world do we even have a prayer to get along with each other when we're so prone to mess up and hurt one another, and then everybody has to defend themselves and stand up for themselves, and everybody's looking out for themselves, and nobody's working together, nobody's serving one another, like we talked about last week, because we're too busy taking care of ourselves and making sure that we are being right, that we are justified in our actions, that our ways win through. It's a death spiral in many ways. When we let conflict, bad conflict, turn into hostility and anger and frustration towards one another. Romans chapter 12 teaches something radical. And I mean every bit of that. A couple of weeks ago, we kind of reviewed the first 11 chapters of the book. And the radical teaching that Paul gives of grace and mercy and justification to say that we are made right with God by grace alone, through faith alone, on the account of Christ alone, is a radical truth. And it's such that it totally transforms who we are. It brings new life, a radically new and different life. A transformed life. And last week, we saw how that plays out in serving one another. We have our gifts from God. We all do. And they are just as precious, no matter how big or small they are. That instead of always thinking of ourselves, we put others ahead of us. We serve because Christ has served us so radically, so extravagantly. And we, in turn, then serve one another extravagantly, generously, in a world that is bent on self-seeking to say that we instead seek the welfare of others first is radical. It's different. We're aliens. And now today, Paul focuses a little bit more on the radically new attitude that then we have toward one another. So we serve one another. That was last week. We love one another. That's this week. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope. That brings us back to the first part of this chapter in view of God's mercies. Those mercies, God's mercy, that's our hope. The cross, the empty tomb, without that, Paul says, without the resurrection, we are of all people most to be pitied. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. But in fact, Paul says, Jesus did rise from the dead. With the resurrection, we have a hope that does not disappoint. It's an eternal hope. It's the hope of eternal salvation. And Paul says here that that hope is the theme of our joy. And because that hope is eternal, because that hope is eternal, then our joy is eternal. In Romans 11:36, Paul shouts aloud, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory for everything." He is our everything, and we rejoice in that. This hope and this joy, Christ, makes it so that we, Paul says in chapter 8, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's what this hope and this joy does. It makes it so that the sufferings of this time, the troubles of this time, are nothing compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. It totally turns our way of thinking upside down. Further down in chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? For I am sure, listen to this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That eternal hope and eternal joy, nothing can separate us from that in Christ. Rejoice in hope. 1 Corinthians 2, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Rejoice in hope. This hope that you have, dear Christian, is unfathomable. Rejoice in that. We haven't seen, we haven't heard, we haven't imagined. We can't imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Rejoice in hope. The God of the universe saved you. That is your hope for eternal life. Because of that, we rejoice in hope. Because of that, Paul says, be patient in tribulation. One writer says that tribulation soon is ended because it is of not of eternal duration, okay? Tribulation soon is ended because it is not of eternal duration. However long the tribulation is for you, however long, however long your trouble is, it's short-lived because it's in comparison to eternity. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't still suffer. And sometimes, sometimes in suffering, nights are long, aren't they? Do you know about that? Days are long. Weeks, months, years. But the comfort here for each day is that God has given you himself. He who promised is faithful. Be constant in prayer, it says. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And we read last week that we contribute generously because God's love and mercy is generous. Seek to show hospitality. Help those in need. The hope and joy that comes from God's mercy brings love and compassion for others. And this is where Paul starts to get radical, okay? As if it wasn't already. Seek to show hospitality. Literally, listen to this. Paul is saying here, swiftly pursue love to strangers. Okay? Think about that for a minute. That's what the Greek words there mean. Swiftly pursue love to strangers. Isn't that kind of a fun thought? One of the really neat things that I love about how Paul and other New Testament writers describe these kinds of things is that they don't just say, hey, be nice to people that you like. All right? That fits, by the way, into our old and natural way of thinking. It's actually to say that we're just going to be nice to people that we like. It's actually very self-serving. It's very selfish. I'm only going to help those who I like, who help me. And that's not how Paul and others describe the Christian life. Instead, it's swiftly pursue love to strangers. It's crazy. But it demonstrates this totally new way of thinking. It's what Jesus was talking about when he said, if someone wants your tunic, your shirt, give him your cloak, your coat too. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Go the extra mile in serving, in loving. And those aren't the kinds of things that we have to do. If we turn it around and say, well, I have to do this, then that turns it back into law. That's back into our old way of thinking. But what we find then in this new nature, in this new outlook on life, is that we want to. That when an opportunity presents itself to go the extra mile, we are, dare I say, excited to do it. We're happy to do it. As God leads us, because we love that person as we love ourselves. Practice hospitality. Swiftly pursue love to strangers. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. We're talking about those who do you wrong, okay? There can be this idea that when we talk about persecution, we think about those Christians on the other side of the world, and it certainly includes them, but it's more than that. To be persecuted means to be wronged. Most or all of us haven't been persecuted the way that Christians are in other parts of the world, but we have been wronged, haven't we? We've been mistreated. We've been victimized. In what ways have you been mistreated in life? Maybe even recently. Have you been the victim of hurtful words, painful experiences? What does Romans say here? To you as the victim. To you as the one who is persecuted. Bless the persecutor. What does it mean to bless here? It means to praise, to speak well of, to pray for. Friends, if you've been hurt or mistreated by family or friends or coworkers or fellow churchgoers, I understand the pain. And I'm not going to diminish it or minimalize it, but I am going to encourage you not to look for healing by retaliation or by tearing someone down verbally or however else. That's what a curse is. That's verbal abuse. It's looking for something evil to happen to someone else, wishing bad upon them. And Paul says here, bless and curse not. We think that healing happens only by tearing down others to the level of pain that we have to endure. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Christ says. He says, bless those who hurt you. And he validated his teaching. He backed his teaching up in Luke 23 and other places. When he's hanging on the cross, and he says, what? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That is a dying man praying for his killers. Praying for you. It was for our sins that he died. That's what the love of Christ does That even the worst of offenses don't stop us from loving and blessing those who hurt us. The reason that Christ could see it that way, the reason for his love, the reason why his love is in us is because God has been merciful to us and given us joy in hope. So that the pains, the wrongs, the troubles, the tribulations, the losses of this world don't mean a whole lot in comparison to eternity. Those pains, those hurts, they don't last. Christ and his hope and joy, that is what lasts. That is what sustains us through difficult times. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. It's one of my favorite parts about being a member of the body of Christ. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We're genuinely happy for one another. We weep with those who weep. Those are difficult times too, aren't they? But we hurt with one another when we are hurting. And that happens when we are loving one another as we love ourselves. When you are hurt, we are hurt. We grieve together. We weep together. We live in harmony with one another, Paul says. We associate with the lowly. We repay no one evil for evil. Only the grace of God, only the love of Christ in our hearts can overcome this inclination for vengeance. It is our nature, isn't it? To get revenge. One writer says it is well to remember our unworthiness before God and how unceasingly he forgives us for Christ's sake. That Christ would so forgive me, we forgive others. He says in verse 18, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Paul acknowledges that sometimes there are others who are bent on disruption and causing trouble, and you can't force them to live at peace with you, but he says, as far as it depends on you. And that's really all that we can do anyway, right? It's ultimately not our job to be worrying about what other people are doing wrong. You be at peace. And if you're a Bible underline person, okay, underline where it says all men. You don't have peace with all except for those few that just get under your skin. It says all. So pray that God will grant you that peace. And then verse 20, by doing this, by living at peace with all, by blessing those who hurt you, by rejoicing and weeping with others, by looking out for their interests over your own, by loving others, verse 20 says, feeding and giving a drink to your enemy, you will heap burning coals upon their head. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? That's not to say that they'll get what they deserve, okay? That's not what it's talking about here, okay? That's malice on your part. That's a hateful and vengeful and angry heart. That's what verse 19 talks about in our text. But by showing love, by meeting all unkindness with kindness, malice with benevolence, generosity, wrong with right, you will force those enemies to deal with this attitude of yours that doesn't make any sense. If you have burning coals on your head, you have to address that, right? You have to deal with that. They'll have to consider. You'll be so crazy that you would do that for them. You who should be getting back at them. They're going to have to stop and consider this out of this world love and care that you have. And Lord willing, it will bring conviction and repentance, faith even, peace that will pervade the community, and who knows, maybe even opposition to the gospel in the hearts of some may soon die away. The love of God softens. How do we get along together? How are we at peace with all? There was a study done once on how members of the various 11 or various sections of a major symphony orchestra perceived each other, okay? So you've got the orchestra. How do they perceive each other, these different groups? The percussionists, the drummers, were viewed as insensitive, unintelligent, and hard of hearing, yet fun-loving, okay? String players were seen as arrogant, stuffy, and unathletic. This is an actual study. I don't know where it, okay? The orchestra members overwhelmingly chose loud as the primary adjective to describe the brass players. Woodwind players seemed to be held in the highest esteem, described as quiet and meticulous, though a bit egotistical. All right. How do we get along with each other? With such widely divergent personalities and perceptions, how could an orchestra ever come together to make such wonderful music? The answer is pretty simple. Regardless of how those musicians view each other, they subordinate their feelings and biases to the leadership of the conductor. Under his guidance, they play beautiful music. That's the beauty, friends, of the body of Christ. As different as we all are, and I look out here, I see a lot of very different people. No offense. I'm pretty different too. In a good way, we all are. As different as we all are, if we will let go of some of those feelings and biases and not to see it as just having to burden ourselves with having to let others get their way, but instead to see it as simply surrendering to the conductor, to the head, to Christ himself, looking to Christ, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author of our faith, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, with our eyes on Jesus, we will find ourselves showered with blessings from above. To be a little cheesy, making beautiful music, okay? And that happens when we are transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in view of God's mercies, looking to Jesus Christ. The grace of God, he is the one we look to for everything. And as we submit to him, as we look to him, his grace and his love, it unites us. It brings us together. And then we share in one another's blessings. We rejoice together. We bear each other's burdens. We weep with each other. We love one another. And this is the love that overcomes evil. And that's what Paul says here when he finishes the chapter. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to close with a quote here from a man by the name of Rosenius. He was a pastor in Sweden. He says, when someone gives you an unfriendly look, return a friendly smile. When you learn that a neighbor has been speaking ill of you, say something good about them. If he refuses you a good turn, seek an opportunity to do him a good turn. Serve him when the need arises. This is the way of overcoming evil with good. 1 John 5:4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors in Jesus, looking to him. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is the one who brings us together in an out of this world unity and service and peace and grace and love with one another. Amen. Let's close this morning singing hymn number 226, Love Divine, All Love Excelling, number 226. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to you for your divine love that would see a way, that would make a way for us to be called children of God. And that is what we are. Because you have loved us in such a way, by sending your Son to die on the cross for me, for each person here, God, I pray that you would instill that truth in our hearts, that you would bring faith to us, that you would help us to trust in you, and that we would in turn love you and love one another. Teach us, God, to love one another as you have loved us. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we allow anger and malice and wrath, vengeance to get in the way of that. Thank you, God, that you are gracious and merciful, that you are so patient to us. God, we praise your name for that today. I pray for each of our families represented here today. Bless them. Lord, I pray for those who couldn't be with us this morning as well. I ask that you would watch over and protect and keep them safe too, wherever they are. I pray that this would be a day, God, when you visit us through your word now and that you grow us in you. I pray for those who are hurting today for whatever reason, going through suffering of various kinds. We pray for Jan Harveland. We ask that you, God, would heal her back, that if it would be your will that she could avoid surgery, we ask for that. I pray for Jennifer Ness, too, and the little baby there, and pray, God, that you would keep them both safe tomorrow and that you would keep them through that process healthy. We are so excited for them. We're so excited for the gift of life. I pray for all of our other expectant mothers, too, and pray for continued safety and blessing in this time in their lives as they prepare for the moment of birth. And we thank you, God, again, just for your grace and your provision toward us in all of that. We pray for our Sunday school and our youth group, our confirmation, our other classes throughout the week, God. Continue to use those to be growing our faith, drawing us closer together. I pray, Lord, for this congregation, and I pray that you would teach us to love one another, that we, God, would be growing together in you. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive God's benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.